It's time to empower your health. This is the Delirious Cure with Johnny Delirious. Johnny is virus-free for over 15 years to date and found effective therapies not commonly known. Now, he'll bring you the experts, doctors, and PhDs with that valuable information to help you stay healthy. Here's your host, Johnny Delirious.
Hello and welcome to the Delirious Cure with Johnny Delirious. I'm Robert Peruker. I'm sitting in for Johnny for a little while. And this morning we have Jonathan Walker, PhD, also known as SureFu Jonathan Walker. Now SureFu, as I told you in a previous interview about a month ago, means master teacher or father teacher. It's because of his high expertise in the martial arts. Welcome.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, I'm happy to do it. We have you have one successful book. Does that make sense? Available through your website, of course, www.QISSAGEBodySystems.org. And now you're working on your second book. I think that's pretty darn interesting. But the theme show that was played for today is different from your last appearance on the show. Mortal Kombat was played. So why did you choose this theme song, and what does Mortal Kombat have to do with the healing arts? It seems contradictory.
Well, Robert, let me start by saying that I generally get up three times a week and run on a treadmill for 3 miles.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that can be a challenge to get up 5, 6:30 in the morning, you know, and get that done just to stay in shape and stay healthy. But I often run into roadblocks like everybody else does and how to keep that up and how to maintain it. So I decided I would choose some kind of music to run to keep me motivated and, you know, keep that up.
Oh, that's
a good idea. Yeah, I went through a few different songs and finally came up with Mortal Kombat. And as I started to listen to it, it established a tempo for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that tempo pretty much was at the pace I was running, 4 to 5 miles an hour. So I use that, and it helped me to get motivated and to keep that running up.
Yeah, that's really good because, as I understand it, as we get older, we have less and less human growth hormone and less impetus to get out and do something physical. So that's really, really good. Now, excuse me for asking, but
sure.
Now you're 60 or right around 60?
60 years old, working on 61 this year.
There you go. Well, me too. That's great. See, now I go for a walk 3 miles a day, but running 3 miles a day is really, really excellent. I think that's excellent. That's a good example for everybody. But how did you decide to, you said you're writing a new book, and it's, let me see if I can say this properly, Wuxing Chuandao.
Wuxing Chuandao, yes.
Wuxing Chuandao. It's the way of the invisible fist, how to survive in the 21st century. Now, before we get into that, I understand that part of your motivation is you're trying to help the young ones coming up in your community and other communities see another way, see a more positive way. Am I right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I think that's wonderful. That's what we need, a grassroots movement to help all of our kids. All right, can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Sure. Well, the book actually ties into the lyrics from Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was saying, as I was running to Mortal Kombat in the mornings, I started to listen, pay a little more attention to the lyrics. You know, it's like any runner, after a while your body gets into a tempo and your mind can be set free to wander and relax.
Mm-hmm.
As I started listening to these lyrics, you know, some key words jumped out to me, and they were choose your destiny, flawless victory, and fight. This is Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as again, making this a regular event 3 times a week, as I continued to listen to these lyrics, they kind of chimed into my thesis that I wrote for my doctoral.
Oh, okay.
And that thesis was on Wuxing Chuan Dao, Way of the Invisible Fist.
Uh-huh.
As I started to draw the parables and the assimilations between the two, it dawned on me that in this life, especially in martial arts as it existed years ago, and more so today because it's such a changing face and becoming an industry as opposed to an art,
mm-hmm.
that we are in a mortal combat. After all, we are mortals, even though some of us like to think we can live forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, generally at the younger ages, we don't see our mortality.
Sure.
But as I listened to those lyrics and saw these words, this is a mortal combat that we exist in. And Wuxing Chuan Dao speaks to how to make physical combat something greater than just physical fight.
Mm-hmm.
So those lyrics, again, I looked at it and I said, flawless victory, what does that mean? Well, basically, flawless victory means you have to have a plan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it has to be a plan for success. And in order for that plan to work, you have to fight at it. And fighting in this life at making success is mortal combat. After all, what's our end result is death. So the lyrics made a lot of sense.
Right, right. Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, if people are listening, you know, mortal combat, oh my goodness, you know, you're going to kill somebody. Well, I think you would probably agree with me that if at all possible, you would avoid, as a martial artist, you would avoid combat, and you go the spiritual route instead of the I'm going to pound you physically route, if it's at all possible. And if not, then you step back to what you've learned in the physical arts, and you can defend yourself and your family and your friends.
Exactly, exactly. Martial arts, as it's been in its original state and as it exists today, is certainly physical combat. It's
mm-hmm.
certainly physical combat, but
mm-hmm.
it's not the purpose. It's only a component, and it's the lowest component. It's where we come in at the beginning stages. It's like mathematics. You start out with addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into logarithms and slide rules, it becomes a different animal, and it becomes a little more higher of a goal to reach with a different purpose at its end.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, Sherfu, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about the more esoteric or the spiritual side of martial arts, which gets glossed over or covered up or not even presented in these martial arts factories when you say it's just they're like factories almost.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We see that happen on every corner because martial arts has become an industry and a sport as opposed to an art. And we as Westerners have this habit of taking those things which come from abroad and boil them down to what we can find to personally benefit from and capitalizing on that. And
mm-hmm.
generally we lose the essence.
Lose the spiritual essence of it, certainly.
Definitely.
So what do you think, just personally, what do you think, why is there such an explosion in the martial arts? Is it because the films in the past 30 years have turned more and more violent, or is it because people probably are genuinely more afraid and more apprehensive and less comfortable walking around, so they do that as a reaction, or I'm going to train my child so he didn't get beaten up in school by the big kid or whatever?
And Robert, I think it's a little bit of both.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit of both. Bruce Lee was significant in the impact he made in the martial arts
mm-hmm.
as an industry, as an art, as a philosophy, and as a gift from the East. However, his visual impact on what he studied as an art, when he brought it to the United States, went to cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, to sit down and make a wonderful movie about the arts in cinema and show the monk sitting in meditation all day is not going to sell tickets.
Good point.
So, of course, cinematography had a role in playing in, and I want to say exploiting to their benefit, and also to Bruce Lee's benefit to bring out martial arts. But unfortunately, he only brought out one aspect of it, and that is the very physical martial combat, what we see on TV and what we see in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a draw, and that got a lot of young kids and adults as well into the martial arts. And that's wonderful, because at the beginning then, there was a philosophy behind it, and Bruce Lee had a fantastic philosophy. And he taught it in his schools, and in his passing, his wife and children carried it also.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as we progressed as a people, as a world, as a planet, and created more obstacles to overcome, we found that we had to change the face of what we had in our public, in our industry, in order to survive. And martial arts kind of suffered from that change. Today, we all suffer from stress, economically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And martial arts industry is really suffering in the last few years economically from stress itself, but it's also capitalizing on stress and making it a physical combat. And I feel that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the right approach.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's everything is just, you know, cut to the perceived essence, not necessarily the most important essence, but the perceived essence.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's very, very interesting.
So Wu Xing Fan Dao speaks to the entire art.
Okay. Sherfu, excuse me.
Sure.
We're going to have to take a short break. Today we're here with Dr. Jonathan Walker. He's the founder and CEO of Chisage Body Systems, LLC. You can find out more about this interesting, interesting man at www.chisagebodysystems.org. We're with the Delirious Cure, and we will be right back. We've got Sherfu Jonathan Walker.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hepatitis C Cured shows the step-by-step recovery journey from hepatitis A, B, and C by Johnny Delirious. In 1992, doctors told Johnny he had only 8 months to live, and he had to have a liver transplant to survive. Johnny rolled the dice and healed himself with natural therapy and has been free of all hepatitis antibodies and viruses for over 16 years. The book tells exactly what he did to heal. Visit www.johnnydelirious.com for more information about how you can get a copy of Hepatitis C Cured.
Hi, this is Dr. Vijaya Nair. Together with my dear friend Dr. Howard Piper, we are hosting our own show called Kiss Your Life Hello. We are two internationally recognized experts, researchers, authors, and health advocates in holistic medicine and counseling. We promise you a fantastic show with interesting guest experts to educate and entertain you with the latest information on mind, body, and spirit wellness. Join us on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. See you there.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Delirious Cure with Johnny Delirious. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to jdelirious59111@yahoo.com. That's jdelirious59111@yahoo.com. Now, in the best interest of your health, let's get back to the program.
Hey, I'm Robert Pruker. We're back. This is The Delirious Cure, and we're here today with Sherfu Jonathan Walker. And let's continue with Wu Xing Chuan Dao. I think that's how you say it.
Yes. Yes, Wu Xing Chuan Dao, Way of the Invisible Fist, How to Survive in the 21st Century, is the working title of the book that I'm writing now. And as we said previously, martial arts today is really focused around the physical aspects, the fighting capabilities that can be had from it. And that's valid, but it's not the point. It's not the point. It's only a partial aspect of the holistic art. This
now,
book.
Let me interject. Sure. We were talking at the break a little bit about when Bruce Lee brought this over. You know, obviously, the younger crowd would only be interested in the fighting and the action, things like that, and it would take an older, more mature crowd to be interested in the philosophy and the spiritual push behind it. But the spiritual push and the loss of control of the original art, I think, is what the old Eastern masters were afraid of, and they were really angry with Bruce Lee about bringing it out to the round eyes. They really didn't like that.
Not at all.
Didn't he go out and form his own style, a synthesis of several styles called Jeet Kune Do?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. And I'm glad you brought that up, Robert, because Wuxing Quan Dao is a descendant of Jeet Kune Do.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Jeet Kune Do, interpreted, means way of the intercepting fist. And it's, again, basically focused on the physical aspect. But we have to keep in mind that there's a higher goal behind that. But from Jeet Kune Do, my teacher, Sijo Leon Trescott, created his own philosophical style of martial arts called Shehe Chen, which was a derivative of Jeet Kune Do, and it means way of the appropriate fist.
Uh-huh.
So he modified it a bit and say, yes, fighting is necessary, but on three levels, mind, body, and spirit. And we don't always need to intercept by being there before our opponent, which is Jeet Kune Do.
Mm-hmm.
He said that sometimes we have to stop and think if the fist is even appropriate.
There you go.
Wuxing Quan Dao takes that to the next level. And notice there's a trilogy here.
Mm-hmm.
That level is to say, way of the invisible fist. Maybe we should reconsider that a fist is even necessary at all. And maybe that fist doesn't mean physical. Maybe it means the way we fight our lives to create harmony and establish that in our universe. So Wuxing Quan Dao subscribes to the philosophy, and I've created a curriculum to follow that answers the call for equality through self-improvement in order to meet the challenges of creating harmony among mankind. And it downplays the physical fighting aspect of the art.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a pretty lofty goal, but it can be addressed.
I think it can, too, especially if you have younger students that come in,
mm-hmm.
and they get trained in this for a while. They can actually go out and make a difference.
Yes,
sir. It's just like I noticed that, you know, you spent some time in the military, of course.
Yes.
And firearms training would be much the same. Now, with some schools, it's just bang, bang, shoot them up and hit the center of the target. With
right.
other schools, that's not so much. It's more safety, philosophy, technique, and most of all, you absolutely don't shoot unless you have absolutely no other choice, which even means if you have to dash off to get away from this guy, it's better to do that than to do something that you'll have to live with for the rest of your life, one way or the other.
Yes, exactly. We have in our school and in our organization a creed, and the second line of that creed states, I will fight only to defend my life or the lives of others. And if anyone in that organization violates that creed, the first thing we do is put them out of the organization. And they must come before a board of peers to determine whether or not they were correct in what they did. If they were correct in what they did and their lives were at stake, then we'll support them. If not, then they violated basically the code and they're on their own.
Wow.
So
you know, it's
play.
Almost like you guys are standing up, you know, like this big monolithic rock and saying, this is the right way to go, and the tide of the movies and what the kids think is cool is
yes.
going the other way.
Yes. Exactly.
But there's a choice now. You guys are giving them a choice now. You live where? You live right near a fairly good-sized town, right?
Yes. I'm in South Jersey, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The largest town around here would be Cherry Hill.
Right. So you draw from the whole area in there.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We even draw from Central Jersey and North Jersey and Philadelphia, tri-state area, Delaware.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We really put the feelers out. I'm one of those folks that will not remain in a geographical location. If folks can't come to me, then I'll go establish a program in their town.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Robert, it's the only way we're going to get the word out, and it's the only way we're going to stress this point that, you know, philosophically, physical development is essential, and we can start at that level, but that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. We have to ascend to a higher level in order to find our fullest potential and seek what the elders sought, and that's the equality for all and harmony in the world.
Do you teach anything about, do you go into any sort of meditation for the students?
Yes, sir, we do. That's another reason why I decided to go into hypnotherapy. Meditation speaks to a person to help them focus and center so that they have a point from which to work. But meditation today is very difficult for people, again, because of stress levels. You know, I often have people say to me, well, you know, I try to meditate, but, you know, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that, or something happens, there's a noise. Mm-hmm. And ideally, in the martial arts, when meditation was practiced, we have to think about the origin of it. We're talking about sages. We're talking about peoples who lived in the mountains who didn't
have
to
distract. But it can still be done.
It can still be done.
You know, I meditate, and sometimes, like you're saying, you know, the mind comes up with, hey, you have all this list of stuff to do, you know, well, you need to hurry up and da-da-da-da-da. And the mind, to me, is like a little child, Sherfu. It wants to interfere and do this, do that, and it's the happiest when it's just monkeying around.
Yes.
And you have to tell it to go over there and sit down in its own little chair so you can be still.
Exactly.
And feel the vastness and the quietness of the universe. And when you can learn to still your whole mind, you start to clear out a lot of these emotional things and these issues that have been troubling you maybe for a long time.
Exactly. And to help my student, my population, achieve that, because people are, you know, we're into a world of multitasking, and that's very distracting. So I bring the world of hypnotherapy or hypnosis in to help people help themselves find that meditation. And I use techniques out of hypnosis that are just word cues, or maybe it's the way I touch a person as they're in hypnosis on a shoulder or a finger that helps them bring themselves to that spot where they can avoid distractions and get into themselves and find that meditation. But definitely meditation is a part of the working program to move from physical to spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think so too.
I think so too, and not drinking so much caffeine in whatever form.
Yes, that helps greatly.
That's right. All righty. Can you explain how the healing arts further addresses health conditions? I know we started on that last time, and
yes.
I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
Yes. I think I've touched on before, stress is a major factor in creating many disorders and diseases like cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, shingles, ulcers, even mental disorders.
Let me ask you something right here. Now, okay, stress, you know, is the propelling feeling. And so you're saying what people do in reaction to this stress might be the cause of their, you know, like, for instance, they're upset, so they go out and they eat way too much, and they continue eating way too much because they're under stress. They end up with high blood pressure, diabetes, and maybe some you know, heart conditions. Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay.
Stress
All right.
is probably the number one underlying cause for most health conditions today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that you can consummate that statement on any AMA website.
Mm-hmm.
Stress is the factor. Stress is a physical manifestation of a mental state.
Aha. Uh-huh.
See, so
there you go with your meditation, huh?
Yeah, exactly. See, keys are starting to fall in line here. Stress originates in the mind, and it's expressed or manifested in the body.
Mm-hmm.
However, attempting to address the mental state can be difficult unless you're a qualified psychologist, psychiatrist. But anybody can successfully address the physical state without licensure, certification, or even high-tech training.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, physical exercise can be a valid and a viable tool to address stress. Tai Chi and Qigong are such physical tools. There are practices that go directly to the heart of the matter by creating a physical state that produces benefits equivalent to those acquired while asleep, but in an awakened state.
Well, that's interesting.
And that's hypnosis. That's hypnosis, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
This is accomplished by meditations that are required to perform these exercises correctly.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Huh. All righty. Well, listen, we're here again with Sure Food Jonathan Walker. I'm Robert Delirious. We're going to take a short break on the Delirious Cure, and we'll be right back. And this fellow has written one book already, and he's working on his second book. His first book was Does That Make Sense? Everyone's Guide to Personal Empowerment and Success. And you can find it on his website at www.QISSAGEBodySystems.org. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Choose your destiny. Flawless victory. Fight.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Z-Cream is advanced skin cream for skin repair, rejuvenation, anti-aging, and anti-wrinkling. Z-Cream has the finest European ingredients with super antioxidants for safe and natural results. People with sensitive skin rave about Z-Cream. Why pay hundreds of dollars for an inferior skincare product? Now you too can have that Hollywood youthful glow and pick up two jars and receive a third jar for free during our limited promotional offer. See the comparisons to other top skin cream brands on our website, www.zcream.com.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Delirious Cure with Johnny Delirious. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to jdelirious59111 at yahoo.com. That's jdelirious59111 at yahoo.com. Now, in the best interest of your health, let's get back to the program.
All right, we're back. I'm Robert Peruker with The Delirious Cure. We're here with Sure Food Johnny Walker. Now, this man's synergistic approach has earned him recognition in both the medical and the martial arts communities and resulted in his being inducted into several national and international halls of fame. I mean, that's really something. So, welcome back, and let's continue with how the healing arts address health conditions, and I think you have a couple more things to say about that before we move on.
Yes, Robert, we were talking about how stress is an underlying cause to most health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And how the alternative and healing arts, such as Tai Chi, Qigong, Reiki, and even hypnotherapy, address stress, therefore, you know, address the issue to a lot of health issues. Qigong itself requires the coordination of breath and movement to enhance circulation of qi throughout the body. And it then will work on specific parts of the body to either prevent or rehabilitate diseases, disorders from illness.
Okay, so you increase the oxygenation, and people need that because, A, they're not getting enough exercise. Is that much, pretty
yes,
much right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And that coordinated with breath, meaning movement,
mm-hmm.
then brings in the aspect of circulation. So we get this out to the entire body.
Now, qi is energy, right?
Yes.
And the breath is symbolic of this energy. Is that right?
Yes,
well, I'm just guessing here.
Qi has a very wide definition. We associate because it's so vast. It's really difficult to pin it down to any one particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But qi is that which animates life.
Uh-huh.
That's probably about the easiest definition.
Okay.
So anything that you could accredit to the animation of life would be relevant to what she is.
So that would be what the Christians would call the spirit, which flows from God.
Exactly.
Or the universal. Yeah.
Yes, and that's where Reiki comes in. Because
okay.
Reiki, as opposed to Tai Chi or Qigong, encompass more of the spiritual aspect and your belief systems, your values, to activate the healing process called homeostasis, when the body takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, know that from
comes
the,
back to a resting point, right?
Yes, yes. So we know that from the Hippocratic Oath, physician, heal thyself.
And yeah. Also, first, do no harm, you know.
And do no harm, correct,
mm-hmm.
correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as practitioners in the healing arts, only help people to reach that state so the body heals itself. There's a wonderful book, Robert, that I read called Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, a PhD,
mm-hmm.
where he actually goes into many years of research that capitalized on that very point of how our spirituality, our belief in our value system can actually affect us physiologically. Again, this speaks to Wuxing Chuan Dao. Again, it speaks
okay.
to Wuxing Chuan Dao. It comes in saying that, you know, we can have this control, we can have this ability, but we must watch the Mortal Kombat. We must fight. We must work at it.
Yeah, and the fight is pretty much a symbolic term there. It's not
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It would be a more soft, more gentle, more a higher flown approach. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, internally what we're talking about. So, you know, the song we talked about earlier, Mortal Kombat, is really valid here. We just need to understand what that means.
Mm-hmm. So how difficult is it for somebody to learn some of the things we've talked about today?
Well, Robert, it's not difficult at all. People can access any local school for Tai Chi or Qigong or Reiki. However, I do recommend that when and if a person does that they make sure first before they take any classes that they're entering the training of a qualified instructor. And, of course, I'm going to be partial and say that qualified instructor should be a person that has a background in the arts, in the art aspect of the martial program, and not necessarily a person that's gone out and done a weekend course and is now teaching.
Sure.
You know, that moves more toward what we were speaking about earlier, you know, the economic benefit that can be gained.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when we move in that direction, we kind of lose some of the value. I have a few colleagues who have benefited from their practices on a physical level.
Uh-huh, really?
Yeah, one guy, he's also a Sifu who's had many years of practice in martial arts and healing arts. He woke up one morning, about 2:30, and found he was completely paralyzed on his right side. What he did from that point on was probably the most important thing that he could have done to bring himself to almost a full recovery in about a year's time. As soon as he was able to gain some control over his situation, meaning mentally and or physically, after he arrived at the hospital, he began performing Qigong breathing exercises and internal movements that enhanced his qi circulation throughout his body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, he was doing this in a state of a consciousness where he couldn't speak. There was no line of communication, but he tells me he did it in a state of calm because he knew that there was a conflict, a fight going on, and right now was the fight for him to regain control. In only
wow.
about 2 hours, Robert, only about 2 hours, he was able to move a finger and a toe on the affected side of the stroke.
Boy, that's something.
8 hours later, he could sit up and walk. The doctors didn't believe it.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And you wouldn't know to do this unless you had that specific training.
Exactly. But watch, it goes a step further. Not only did he have that training, but his family and friends as well, who had some limited training but knew his life and his lifestyle, also jumped in to help him by allowing him to do what he knew he could do to help himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was very important for him, very important for him.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
He's not the only stroke victim that I've had association or dealings with or even treated, but there are other folks who've had strokes that have like stories.
Mm-hmm. So this is in many respects, you're saying to the student, to life and to society in general, hey, this is one way where you can take physical, emotional, and spiritual control and responsibility for yourself. And you don't sit around, like I know some people, they don't really take care of themselves. They have physical problems. They have health problems. I mean, serious ones. They go to the doctor, and it's like they defy the doctor to fix them.
Yes.
But it's their responsibility.
Yes.
And that's what you're saying. You can take responsibility, and you can do an awful lot to work with the physicians.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And, Robert, I have to say there are physicians out there, pretty much contrary to popular opinion, there are physicians out there that do accept alternative methods and will work with you if you just talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you have to do is sit down. I speak with my doctor all the time and tell her, say, well, you know what I do. You know I'm not going to do the traditional pharmacological route. I'm not going to take all those medications. So What can we do from here that I'm already versed in, that's a part of my lifestyle?
Yeah, but that's very interesting for the doctor, too, because they have to really think instead of going to the pharmacopoeia, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And they find it intriguing, some find it interesting, and some even advocate it, even though they won't publicly do it. You know, they'll, within their own structure, they'll make recommendations for their patients to seek alternative methods.
Right, and is your doctor a younger doctor or just a more enlightened older one?
No, actually, she's a younger doctor. She has a family, and it took her a little while to get used to my wife and I both attend the same one, you know.
Right.
And my wife and I sometimes go in for visits together when we're going to have our annual checkup.
Okay.
And I'll sit and watch my wife have her exam, and the doctor will tell her, well, I want you to do this, 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 and my wife will go, okay. And I'll look at the doctor and say, she's not going to do that. And I'll say, ask her, is she going to do it? And she'll ask her, she'll say no. I say, we have alternative methods.
Uh-huh.
And if we just speak up, the doctor says, well, if you're not going to do that, then, you know, what would you do and how can we help you? And that becomes a cooperative effort, which it should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I managed to go 60 years here, and my last checkup, which was a 60,000-mile checkup, something I never knew existed in medicine. At 60 years old, you have a different exam. And the doctor said, I was in great health.
Mm-hmm. But it's partly because you took responsibility for yourself and didn't just let things rock along. A lot of people just let things rock along.
Exactly.
I met somebody recently just last week, that looked at me and said, what do you expect? I'm 55 years old, and I started laughing at him, you know. I was like, come on, you know, are you joking or what, you know? He had just let himself go and like this, you know. I said, well, I'm 60, and I'm about 6'1", 200, you know. Maybe I'm a little bit overweight, but I try to keep myself in good shape. And, you know, basically what it boiled down to, it got right back around to personal responsibility.
Exactly.
And
yes.
I think he has a highly stressful life. He lives in South Florida, and things are too fast and too crazy down there. And that's, you know, he probably had too much caloric input there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to do. If we're not disciplined in sustaining good habits, it's very easy to do. And again, with the amount of stress that we all suffer as individuals and as a country, it's very easy to get off track. Very easy to get off track.
All right, real quick, do you guys have any fasting in your routines? Like I was in a program, or I am in a program, and every Friday we're supposed to, unless we're working physically, we're supposed to have a mental fast of all negative thoughts, or number two, a fruit juice fast, or the best of all is all those things, or not the fruit juice, but just water only for 24 hours on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of clear the system out.
Yeah, Robert, we have a water fast. Yeah.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I do that annually, sometimes more during the season. It's a Taoist water fast that goes anywhere from 3 to 10 days.
Wow.
And whatever amount of time that you fast going in, you also must use coming out. So if I fast on water alone for 10 days, then it takes me 10 days to get back to a regular diet.
Right, I see. So you don't shock the system.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, that's really useful for getting all sorts of impurities, additives, preservatives, and just stuff you just don't need out. Well, that's wonderful. We're going to have to take a break right here. Excuse me for interrupting you. It's Robert Peruker. We're with the Delirious Cure, and we will be right back. We've got Sure Food Jonathan Walker again.
Choose your destiny. Flawless victory. Fight.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hepatitis C Cured shows the step-by-step recovery journey from hepatitis A, B, and C by Johnny Delirious. In 1992, doctors told Johnny he had only 8 months to live, and he had to have a liver transplant to survive. Johnny rolled the dice and healed himself with natural therapy and has been free of all hepatitis antibodies and viruses for over 16 years. The book tells exactly what he did to heal. Visit www.johnnydelirious.com for more information about how you can get a copy of Hepatitis C Cured.
Journey into the realm of spirit, the source of all things. Master fear in these tumultuous times and learn ancient ways to abundant love and healing. Why Shamanism Now? A practical path to authenticity will awaken the unique genius within you. Host Christina Pratt challenges you to initiate your innate powers within to gain health, well-being, and joy through the practices of Last Mask Center for Shamanic Healing. Tune in each week to Why Shamanism Now, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Seventh Wave Network.
What is whole person healing via body, via mind, and via spirit? It's a dedication to the widest selection of healing practices worldwide whenever possible. Hosted by Professor Rustam Roy, a noted material scientist and the founder of Friends of Health, along with co-host Alison Rose Levy, a leading integrative health journalist and media initiative director for Friends of Health, who will be here each weekend with the most in-depth information about whole person healing from the world's leading practitioners, spokespersons, and major supporters for this viewpoint. Tune in every Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel.
Z-Cream is advanced skin cream for skin repair, rejuvenation, anti-aging, and anti-wrinkling. Z-Cream has the finest European ingredients with super antioxidants for safe and natural results. People with sensitive skin rave about Z-Cream. Why pay hundreds of dollars for an inferior skincare product? Now you too can have that Hollywood youthful glow and pick up two jars and receive a third jar for free during our limited promotional offer. See the comparisons to other top skin cream brands on our website, www.zcream.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Delirious Cure with Johnny Delirious. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to jdelirious59111@yahoo.com. That's jdelirious59111@yahoo.com. Now, in the best interest of your health, let's get back to the program.
Hey, we're back. We've got Sure Food Jonathan Walker today, and we're talking about fasting right now, and I mentioned a brown rice fast, like a 10-day brown rice fast, and before that, he said, well, he does a 10 to 20-day water fast one time a year. Wow. It's really something, man.
Yes, Robert. That's an extreme. It's a Dallas water fast. Let me say this right now for your listeners. It is not recommended. It is not recommended. I repeat, it is not recommended for anyone to do a fast of that nature unless they're under the supervision of a person who is versed in that type of fast, because it is dangerous. It's extreme.
That long a fast. But you could do like a 1 or a 2 day fast like this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. Our fast that we do, we reach for a minimum of 3 days.
Okay.
Because at 3 days, your body is actually into a full detox where it's cleansed itself internally. And anything after that, goes more for the psychological effect, and it gets you into the aspects of eating and what it's actually all about.
Okay, now how does the meditative part of this work? Now, I would envision, you don't you don't have to worry about eating. It's incredible how much time is taken up with the shopping for preparation of and actually eating and washing the dishes. And if you don't have to eat for 3 or 4 days, it's shocking. I mean, really, you know, it's just shocking how much time is taken up by all this stuff. And so then your attention can be turned inward to clearing the mind, doing good meditations. Now, some of the first few days you might have headaches, right?
Exactly. Generally, in the first 2 to 3 days, you can experience a headache, maybe even a migraine headache.
And that's a lot of times from getting rid of too much caffeine. It'll just be whatever's left over in all your bodily cells and tissues, right?
Sure, sure. And that headache can be remedied just by having a cup of hot water and sipping it like tea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and after you're past that point, you really lose the physical desire for food, and it's more a psychological desire and a habit.
That's very interesting. That's counterattitudinal too, you know?
Yes.
Counterintuitive.
Yes.
You lose the physical desire for food. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So as you get to that point, then you can turn, as you said earlier, you know, you can turn your sights more toward inward and spiritually, and we have a set of Qigong exercises that we do during this fast that helps us gain energy. You know, we generally look at energy or qi coming from food, you know, mm-hmm. to fuel the body. But there are many other different sources. Here's a very simple one. You hear people speaking to plants. They say, well, if I talk to my plant, it grows. Actually, the foundation behind that is when you talk to the plant, you give it carbon dioxide, it gives you oxygen. Okay, that's a physiological exchange that happens there. Well, we do pretty much the same thing with the Qigong exercises, where we will sit in meditation in very, quote-unquote, green pastures or parks,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where we can gain the energy from our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we use that to fuel our body so we have physical capabilities for maintaining our activities during the day.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I first heard that, I thought, yeah, right.
Well, you know, it's interesting, talking about speaking with plants. When I was a student in the university, I read this book called The Secret Life of Plants.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they hooked up various different plants with a galvanometer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like you can put one on your finger, and if you're nervous or get under a little bit of stress, you sweat just a little bit, or there's a change in the electrical potentiality there.
Yes.
Okay, well, they did that with plants, and so everything was fine. They'd be speaking to the plants, and the galvanometer was normal and all this stuff, and they went into the next room with the same kind of plants, and they struck a match and started burning the leaves of one of these plants, and the galvanometer in the next room was going crazy.
Yeah.
And so what they determined was, well, this is strange. Obviously, the plant does not have a mental capability, but perhaps in its spiritual essence, it has sort of an emotional or a knowingness
mm-hmm.
Type of capability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting, too.
Robert, we're everything in our universe, including us, consists and is composed of energy. We're just different densities.
And the energy comes down from the ultimate source.
Exactly.
And through different ways and foods and all this kind of stuff, it gets diluted. Now, some supposedly, I don't know this firsthand, but supposedly some spiritual masters in the East, they simply do not eat. They get their, they're called the Eshwar Kanwali, they're the God Eaters.
Mm-hmm.
They get their energy directly from source. And that's fascinating, but it's pretty far off from where I am.
Yeah.
It's
kind of along the line of what I spoke about doing the Qigong exercises during our fast. We
uh-huh.
seek other sources. Those aren't just generally, you know, it's not general knowledge what those sources are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that's what
exist.
I was kind of alluding to there, because it's very similar.
Yes, yes. And believe me, Robert, I'm 10 years of fasting. Like as I said, when I first heard it, I thought, right, yeah, there's no way. After 3 days, I'm going to get a hoagie. But by the fifth day, I really amazed myself. And when I went 10 days, I was astounded with myself. It was just life-altering.
Mm-hmm.
And then I continue to do it. You know, it's really been good for me as far as my mental, physical, and spiritual health.
Well, what would you recommend as a say a monthly routine or even a weekly routine? Would you recommend like a day of fasting or?
You know, Robert, I'm gonna go back to something that doesn't even have much to do with the Orient on that answer.
Okay.
As a kid, you know, I grew up with a family that were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And each week, after we had plenty to eat and much activity outside and sunshine and rest, my grandparents used to give us a bottle of castor oil and said, you need to clean your system out. And we each had these little half-pint bottles of castor oil, I believe it was about a half pint. And each child got that. And then we were told to go sit somewhere and be quiet for a while.
Wow.
You know, and I look back on that now, that in itself is, you know, a form of meditation or fasting. You know, we didn't eat that during that time. We did a cleansing. So, yes, recommendation, if a person could take one day a week, if not totally isolate themselves from food, at least cut way down, 50%, 75%. It's really amazing how much the body really needs as opposed to what we really put into it.
Yeah, there is so much stuff that just gets stacked up and it can't get filtered out because we keep piling more stuff in there.
Exactly.
This is one of the ways that Johnny cured himself of hepatitis C, something that you don't recover from, not typically. And he flushed his entire intestinal system. He does that probably 2 days every month.
Yep.
And what happens was the liver started getting rid of these gallstones and stuff. In other words, encapsulated whatever was a problem for the liver that it detected, it encapsulated in this stuff, I guess, and it comes out as gallstones. And so now, you know, he has pretty low cholesterol and low heartbeat and just, you know, he's in really good shape. And so that would be an early representation of just that, you know, cleaning the system out, letting it rest for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll give you another example along that line. As I get older and continue to run or bike, it's more difficult for me to reach my target heart zone. Because what happens over time is my body and my heart work together, so the heart works less and produces more.
Well, you probably have a bigger, stronger heart. When you're biking, you develop a larger, stronger heart. Not a larger, flabby heart, but a very strong heart, and the pumping is slower but more powerful.
And you increase your circulation with less effort. You know, so it really becomes healthy in that respect, and you reduce your physical stress.
Yeah, I like biking. I used to bike a lot years ago with my nephew and stuff. So I think it's a wonderful thing. And as a matter of fact, after several hours a day for 3 or 4 days in a row, then after this time, you would start to experience this exhilaration. You know, this, I guess you'd call it a endorphin dump.
Yeah.
But you're clear. Your body's cleaned out from, you know, rapid cycling of your blood and the liver and kidneys are purifying everything. I think it's a really great, great thing. It's hard to find a safe place to bike these days, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's another reason why I resort to my running, because, you know, and I bought my own treadmill, so, you know, there's no excuse, and it's always available.
Well, listen, are you considering any more books in the future? I wanted to wrap up with that because we just have a little bit more time.
Sure. Actually, my wife, when we finished the last show, she came to me and she said, I want to do a book on your life.
Actually, she came to me
and said, I should do a book on my life. And I said, oh, I have enough books trying to do. So,
well, it's a good idea because you'd be a wonderful example for contemporary kids and adults.
Well, what we agreed to do is that, you know, in our spare time as we're moving along, we don't want to make this another major project, is that she would do interviews of me, short interviews. We'd sit down and tape them, and she can do the writing. And then later she'll put it together, and then, you know, I'll edit. But, yeah, that's something we have in mind for the future.
That sounds good.
So we'll try that and see what we come up with there.
Yeah, that sounds really good. All right. Well, I really enjoyed your first book. Does that make sense? You had a wonderful, really a brilliant observation in there. For our audience, what Sherfu observed was most of these so-called success programs, it wasn't
for the reader's benefit, the author was just saying that that was success to him, and that's what he identified as success. And so a lot of times the reader or the person studying the tapes and books and discourses would go away feeling sort of empty-handed. And so you have to define success for yourself and pursue it that way. What's your gift? Capitalize on it, right?
Exactly. And, you know, again, that's something that came to me after spending a lot of time, energy, and money reading motivational and success books. And it just, you know, became frustrating. It actually became a source of stress after a while. It's like, how come it doesn't work for me?
And then
the bell rang.
I've had the same experience. I just finally quit buying a lot of these things. Now, some of these are good, but
yeah. Many
of them are just out to make money for themselves, or a lot of internet marketing is that way.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, you can be successful if that's your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ask yourself that question. Is that what I want to do?
Yeah, is that what makes me happy? Is that my purpose? And
right.
You can find your purpose in these meditative sessions.
Exactly.
Well, Sherfu, thank you so much for joining us again. It's been very interesting, and you're always fun to speak with. And this is Sherfu Jonathan Walker. He is a Tai Chi and Qigong master, a Reiki master teacher, and holds a doctorate in martial arts science from the University of Asian Martial Arts Studies. That's, wow. Okay, well, thanks so much. And you can find out more about Dr. Walker's books, his future book and his current book, at www.QISSAGEBodySystems.org. His first book is Does That Make Sense? Everyone's Guide to Personal Empowerment and Success. We've got to run. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning in to The Delirious Cure with host Johnny Delirious. Please join us again next Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Live better this weekend and all next week with the information from today's program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.